It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo here in studio this week with producer Quentin and professional fisherman Mike Marfell.
Yo.
Who has been, you just did Brig, you said you were faux Mark. You've been the stand-in.
Yeah, I've been faux Mark the last three
Mark
weeks.
Mark McMurray.
Not near as handsome, though, Mark.
As my partner, Mark McMurray, has been on his whirlwind tour of the Midwest of the United States. It is show season, and every weekend, Mark and his team have been in different places around the country, and this weekend is no different, and he's on the road right now, and so we get a chance to check in with my co-host Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, from the road. Mark, how are you, my friend?
Hey, not too bad. On the road again.
On the road again is right. So this weekend show is at least kind of close to home, so maybe it's a little bit easier for you. A couple extra nights in your own bed and not
no.
as oh no, it's not.
No.
Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Mark's got us an Airbnb, so I'll be joining Mark come Friday night.
Well, it's in the state of Illinois, right?
Yeah.
This week is Marion, so at least you're in the home state. Yeah, give us a catch us up. It's been a few weeks since you've been on with us because you've been all over the place with these shows. Give us a recap of everything you've seen and done, and also like what's to come this weekend and going forward.
Yeah, so we started off, you know, we kicked off the show season. It's part of what we do with Collinsville over there. That was our home one, and then we went to when that cold weather hit, we were down in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, which is a Cincinnati suburb on the Indiana side.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting right on the banks of the Ohio River. It's kind of a neat historical town there. So we were there that weekend.
Was it as cold there as it was here? Did you guys get that same brutal cold?
It was same brutal cold. I actually got stuck there, you know, and had to work remotely from my Boeing job for 2 days because Jason had to come back and do snow removal and stuff.
Wow.
So I was stuck there, and then he came out that following Tuesday, and we headed up to Millersburg, Ohio, which is about 90 miles northeast of Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
So it was up there. It's in the heart of Amish country, which was kind of cool. I got my first exposure to Pennsylvania Dutch, you know, which was interesting when you show up and they're, what language is that exactly?
That's awesome.
I couldn't figure it out. I recognized there were English words in it. There were German words in it, but I couldn't recognize it. So
that's awesome.
Finally, yeah, there was a couple of guys that had swung. They were coming in the booth, you know, all the time, and they were talking. And I went over there and I said, what language is this, guys? And they started laughing. They go, it's called Pennsylvania Dutch. He said, it's got German in it. It's Dutch. And he goes, if there isn't a German or Dutch word for something, we throw the English word in. And it was different. But he said, if you listen to it, you can pretty much figure out what we're talking about.
That's funny.
So
it's like listening to Bob Dylan.
And then, yes. And then last weekend, we were up in Schaumburg. That's a northwest suburb of Chicago.
Yeah, gotcha. And then what are we? Are we halfway through, three quarters of the way through? How much more time is the show season?
Yeah, so for us, Marion is number 5 of 9.
Okay, so we're pretty much in the middle.
We're right in the middle. This one will get us over the hump. And then we wrap it up. Then we wrap it up with a trip back out to Ohio to Columbus. And then the Quad Cities, which is up northern Illinois, there on the Iowa border, and then the Catfish Conference down in Louisville, Kentucky, and then back out to Cincinnati first weekend of March. So then we're done.
And we had some weather during the Collinsville show as well, but it was still a big turnout. Still a lot of folks came to the Let's Go Fishing show that kicked this all off that first weekend of the year. in Collinsville. Ironically, depending on when people are listening to this show this weekend, I'm back in that building this weekend. My daughter has a gymnastics meet.
Nice.
at the Gateway Center. So it'll be my first time back since the Let's Go Fishing show. I was trying to explain to my son that we were going back to the same place, and he just, you know, he's 6 years old. You could tell that he's struggling with it. Like, well, where's the fishing pond gonna be? Like, no, buddy, that's yeah. not there yeah. anymore. Like, oh, does your friend have to move all of his stuff? It's like, no, nobody. It's all gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's all gone.
Yeah. But yeah, looking forward to going back there. But we had really good crowds, as always, at the Collinsville show. What has it been like at the other shows this year? Are you seeing bigger crowds than in the past, or about the same, or maybe the weather's kind of screwed with some of them? How's the experience been so far?
Yeah, so these last three that we did were all new to us, so we had never done those before. The Lawrenceburg one, they figured it was the cold weather and a little bit of snow and stuff kept some people home. So that one was attendance. They didn't hit their goals, but the people that showed up were active buying. And then when we're out there at Millersburg in the Amish country, it was really a hunting show. We were kind of – we took a stab at it because somebody told us they thought our beef would be pretty good. But those guys are – people out there are serious hunters. I mean, it was 90% of the space was hunting. And then we were sitting right across from the food court, biggest food court I've ever seen at any type of show. It was literally 50 feet wide by 200 or 300 feet long.
Whew.
And it was non-stop people eating. I'm sitting there going, they're showing up here just to eat, you know. And the food was good. They were out there 0 degrees grilling it.
Oh wow.
And, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But you know, like I said, I got a little bit of knowledge into, you know, a little bit different culture. They were talking to some of the Amish people.
Yeah, that's super interesting. It's definitely a different world. It's a different life, and we've all seen it on TV. We've heard about it or whatever, but I imagine until you're experiencing it personally, you don't really understand. Like you said, you're hearing almost a different language being spoken. Like you probably don't really understand the cultural impact until you're right in the middle of it. That's a pretty cool experience.
What was kind of, you know, just getting to talk to, you know, different ones coming into the booth, you know, it was just interesting to talk to them. And the more I talked to them and talked about how they were living and stuff, and I'm almost thinking, you know, I think they might have it right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, probably doesn't sound bad.
Yeah.
You know, cause they work hard in, but they're not part of the rat race.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, it almost sounds like they might have it right. It's, you work, but then you're not influenced by all that other crap.
Yeah, yeah. Something, especially in today's day and age, there is definitely something to be said for simplifying things and getting away from all the distractions of life. And
yeah, we do this fishing and hunting thing because we want to do that, but there,
it's a great point,
and it's to replicate when we did it to survive.
Yeah But
right, Mark, I mean, trapping's the same way. You can do it for fun now, but it used to be just to survive,
right? Yeah,
to survive, put meat on the table. I mean, you talked a lot. I think that's why they were so active in the hunting, is they were putting food on the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
And for me, still one of the best. That's still one of the most best things about going fishing or hunting or just getting outside is the unplugging part of it.
Yeah,
you know, if it's great if you have a great day on the water and you catch a whole bunch of fish, and you know that's
crappie
awesome.
Sandwiches are good too. Yeah,
but I can sit if I'm sitting in a boat in the middle of nowhere in a peaceful lake somewhere and I don't catch any fish,
I'm good with that.
I still had a great day.
Yep,
because
listening to the waves slap off the side of the boat. Yep.
Yeah, to get away from all that stuff.
And I guarantee when you're out there, you're going to see something, you know, cool. Whether it's something cool, whether it's an eagle grab a fish or a bobcat or whatever.
Yeah. Mark, has there been any, Has there been any commonality between the shows as far as like maybe a particular piece of gear or just like conversation or maybe like, you know, like a certain type of fishing that's getting talked about more? Is there anything that's sort of stood out in these shows, things that maybe people are talking about right now or interested in right now that maybe they haven't been in the past? Or is it, you know, basically the traditional conversations?
It's pretty much been the traditional conversation. There are a couple of baits that, especially this last show up there at Schaumburg that we were at, because most of the dealers had coordinated with the one rep group, you know, as far in. There's a new, it's a, Mike, you might have, Nomad Designs.
Yep.
Have you heard, familiar with their stuff? We had it in our booth there at Collinsville.
Yeah.
And, you know, we sold a fair amount, but that's really getting a lot of positive feedback already.
Yes.
So is it so a brand name?
It's a brand.
Yeah.
They were a saltwater tackle company, and then they jumped into the freshwater.
Kind of like what AFCO did with the gear.
Yep.
They've been around forever, and then they kind of came to the freshwater side of things.
Is it the brand that's catching on, or is it one specific thing or a couple specific lures that they offer?
It seems to be the brand, but they got like a rattle trap style bait. Apparently has a real narrow and a very lively vibe to it, and so that's been catching on.
It has like quality. It screams of it has quality split rings and hooks and stuff, kind of like the Japanese baits.
It's made well.
Made well, yeah. It's quality stuff. Yeah.
That's cool. That's good. I mean, any growth in the space.
It catches fishermen. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. What's more important?
Then it's a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. What's more important, catching fishermen or catching fish?
Well, if you're selling baits, catching fishermen is very important.
But in the long run, the baits have to catch fish.
Yeah, it'll fade. It'll fade away if it doesn't. Yeah. Mark, do you remember the laser lure?
Yep.
That crankbait that had a little light in it when it got wet or whatever. Yeah, everybody was raging about that, and then people realized it didn't actually work, and it went away.
Light up lures, lures that that have like a, like make a sound, like a little sonic.
Yeah, those do kind of work.
Sound or the rattle.
Yeah.
Or there's, they've, every gimmick possible. And I'm not saying that some of the gimmicks work, like mentioned, but I think every gimmick possible has been.
Yes.
Tried multiple times.
Yes. I mean, we've talked about the Alabama rig a million times. Most average people would look at that and laugh like there's no way that works.
Right.
You know, if you weren't a fisherman, you would be like, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mark, I would imagine the travels are also a good reminder. I mean, we're talking about some of the places you've been and, you know, the cool areas and the bodies of water that they're on. But it's probably also a good reminder and a realization of what we talk about all the time, how good we have it here in the St. Louis area and in the over there in Alton, right by you guys, with the fisheries that we have here, the bodies of water that we have here that we are able to take advantage of on a daily basis. And not everybody across the country has that opportunity.
No, it's a little bit, you know, like where we were in Millersburg in Ohio there. It's very, very hilly, kind of like the foothills of the Appalachians. So you don't have, you know, as many lakes there to fish in. And then, of course, then, you know, the fishing's a little bit different. You're not too far from Lake Erie with all the walleye fishing, which is what a lot of people were doing. But you kind of think, man, you know, we got just about every type of fishing around here. And we're kind of lucky in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah.
The biggest river in North America, and then you got Lake of the Ozarks and all the Southern Illinois lakes and the Ozark lakes. Yeah, it's a good spot to be in the middle of the country here.
That's my
all the shows. People were shocked when I would show them the picture of that 104 pounder because I have it on my phone that Anthony, manager, that he had caught, and I said, well, that, you know, that's just the type of catfish, because they'd look at some of the gear we had, especially up at Schaumburg, and go, what are you going to catch with that? So that looks like, you know, saltwater tackle. Like it basically is.
Yeah.
You're catching these, you know?
Yeah.
And we see multiple of those every year.
Yep.
I mean, it's still a standout. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to belittle a 100-pound catfish, but, you know, that's something that we talk about every year here in our area, which is pretty amazing.
Had a whole tank full of them at the Classic this year.
Yeah. No kidding. Talking to my partner, Mark McMurray, who is on the road. It's show season this weekend. It's Marion, Illinois. Mark, before we let you go, have you had a chance to talk to the folks back home at the shop at Bluff City Outdoors? Anything the latest happening there? I mean, it's a great time to get out of the weather and do some shooting in the archery range. That's always a nice thing to do that you can take advantage of out there at Bluff City.
Yeah, that's pretty busy.
Yeah.
The few evenings I've been swinging by there, we've had shooters in there. Leagues have started.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, all of that's going on. And then tons of new product are showing up. So we're just excited about trying to get the walls reorganized and get it all ready. So yeah, the spring's not far off. You know, we roll out of these shows, I mean, basically, and then we're into the start of spring.
It's February.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? We're already through the first month of the year.
We're about 3 months from the spawn.
I feel like New Year's Eve was like last week.
Yeah.
And we're already a month in. It's already February. You're right. Spring is right around the corner. Mark, before we let you go, I also got to tell you, you missed, you know, we've had a lot of great stories. We've heard from a lot of great, you know, a lot of guys from all over the country with a lot of great stories about the great outdoors and being out on the water. You missed Quentin's kayak story. You'll have to play it back for you or have Quentin tell it again someday. But who knew that our own producer Quentin had a kayak whitewater adventure?
It felt like white water. It wasn't white water.
It wasn't white water, but it turned it. Well, a couple times it got almost as exciting as white water. Yeah.
Luckily, now he's tall enough. If he falls in, he just stand up.
Yeah. Exactly. You missed Quentin's. You missed Quentin's kayak story. He's got a good one. So we'll have to play that for you. Yeah. Great stuff. So we're holding down the fort here for you while you're out, and appreciate your time checking in, and we'll try to catch up with you again next week.
If they're listening and want to come down to that show, it's free parking for you to get in.
So. Yeah, there you go. Marion, Illinois. This one's not as far as some of the other ones, at least. So, yeah, get out there, and if you're looking for something cool to do this weekend, get out there and check out the show. Mark, really appreciate you checking in with us. Hopefully we can catch up with you again next week, and safe travels, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Okay, we'll see you.
Yeah,
see you,
Mike.
See you, Mark. See you Friday night,
okay,
bud.
Bye, guys. Okay. Yeah.
Great stuff there from my partner, Mark McMurray, from Bluff City Outdoors, on the road this time of year. It's show season. All right, we're going to get into some fishing talk this time of year. Unbelievably, we're a month in. Spring is right around the corner. And
love is in the air, Tony.
Love is in the air. It's February. We'll continue the conversation with Mike Marfell next here on the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I'd change all that if I had a couple
million dollars. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL. This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Big thank you again to my co-host, Mark McMurray, for calling in from the road. It's show season, so he and his team from Bluff City Outdoors are all over the Midwest these first couple months of the year. This weekend in Marion, Illinois, a little closer than some of the others, so actually something that you could go to.
And you'll see me there on Saturday and Sunday.
So how far is Marion?
It's a little under 2 hours from here. Yeah. Straight down 64. You know where Mount Vernon is?
I do.
Just keep on keeping on to Route 13 like you're going to Carbondale.
There you go.
It's right there.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Looking for a cool thing to do this weekend. Get out there and check out the show. Say hi to Mark and Mike and the whole team.
Free parking, free entry.
Bluff City Outdoors. Yeah.
Great little show. Got boats and RVs and lots of fishing tackle.
I want to say thank you to both of you guys. We were starting the show with Mark, so I didn't get a chance to say anything. But, you know, we start the show every week with our custom open that was written and performed by our good friend Perry Woods, who is also the guitar player in Katie and I's band. And we had our concert this past weekend, last Saturday night, out at Westport Playhouse. And Quentin was there, and Mike was there. And
my baby's mama was there.
And we had a packed house at Westport Playhouse. So thanks to everybody that came out. And
yeah, shame on anybody that didn't come. It was a really good time. The bands were all great. Yeah. You guys shocked me.
Yes.
I mean, I knew the band was good, you know, because it's Perry.
Yeah.
And those guys, I could tell that from being here. But then all that voice coming out of Kate, I couldn't tell here because when I watched practice, because you didn't have a PA, you just had one speaker.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
But you put her in a room with that's conducive to having good sound with a good PA.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Man, oh man.
Yeah, Mark.
And you crushed it too. I mean, it's.
Well, there's a reason I
have Katie. Cult of personality.
There's a reason I have Katie there.
Well, I understand that, but.
But
for what you did well too, Tony.
Yeah,
so.
we raised over $1,000 for Thrive St. Louis because all the proceeds from the concert went to Thrive St. Louis, thanks to Weber Chevrolet and Gutter Pros for sponsoring the event. And Lenny Mink started the show, and then Mark Close's band, Close's Quarters, who my mom is now an official groupie of.
Oh, me too. It's like that is not cover cannon fodder that you're doing. When you're doing those songs, Beatles, I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah. And then, Q, I could tell that you were not prepared for what was about to happen.
No.
I could see it in your face, like, what is happening with these two that talk, Katie and Tony, who sit in a studio and talk about news and politics every day. Like, what is happening?
You know, I was, we were sitting a couple rows back from your wife and your kids.
Uh-huh.
And I just love the interaction between you and your son.
Yeah.
You know, while you're on stage.
He
and you can just
loves it.
Yeah, I can, you can
see. Yeah, he's an air guitar master.
Yeah.
He's on that water bottle like it's the mic, just like you. I'm just, that's what I.
It blew my mind.
I enjoyed
it. And then when Katie started belting out some System of the Down, I'm like, come on.
Yeah. And Perry Woods,
is phenomenal.
You hear him do that intro for us every week, that acoustic intro, and you know
that is
you,
the very tip of the iceberg.
And if you see Perry play, most of the time, you know, that's the kind of show he does. He does a lot of solo one man show at a lot of bars and small venues all around St. Louis. He's getting back into that. He had back surgery, so he's kind of been out of the scene for the last few months, but he's getting back into it. But when he's playing with one of his bands like ours, and he gets a chance to cut loose with that electric guitar.
Yeah.
It's sickening.
Yeah, your boy even did some behind-the-back air guitar, which Perry was going behind the back. So, yeah.
And Alonzo, our drummer, Alonzo Jameson, Tilby Oakley, our bass player, they are the best in the business.
It's like I said a million times, Stevie Ray Vaughan ain't Stevie Ray Vaughan without Double Trouble. And you guys, those two are tight, tight.
So thanks to you two, and thanks to everybody that came out.
Let's do it three times a year, Tony.
Get
on Weber about that.
That's a blast. It was all for a great cause. We had a packed house. We raised over $1,000 for Thrive St. Louis. So
and a great venue in general. I mean,
Westport Playhouse is an incredible venue. Yeah. That it's just reopened. So hopefully, a lot of cool things happening there. And big thanks.
Lenny was great too.
To everyone again. Dive back into the conversation here. Something that it was interesting that we touched on there with Mark in the last segment, asking about some of the fads that we've seen over the years.
Yes.
And, we talked about, lures that rattle, lures that make, a sound, or emit some kind of like radio wave, or they glow in the dark or whatever.
Right.
What are you, and you said like some like actually sometimes you know something like that works of those silly type of gimmicks. What are the ones?
The that one
are,
that admits
legit, and what are the ones that are just
to me
totally,
the ones that the ones that admitted like bait fish sounds when they get wet. It's got a little circuit board in there. I think don't quote me. I think it's Livingston Lures that does this. So in my opinion, this time of year, like a jerk bait that's making that little bit of noise when it's setting still,
because
you got to let them set still so long, that's a legit one.
Are those commonly used?
Yeah,
like I don't feel like we talk about like things like that very often. Like
the idea is really there. Everybody's got so much confidence in their jerk baits to begin with.
Yeah,
and they're kind of a by sight. That you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
A jerk bait's more of a the fish sees it kind of thing than feels it. But I think every little bit helps when it's, if you get a little bit of a dingy water situation, that admitting that bait fish sound, everybody thought that the HydroWave that you put on your boat that emits bait fish sounds, it's got a little underwater speaker and it puts out the sounds. Everybody thought that was a gimmick. Yeah. I don't know if I've told you this story.
No. Does that work?
Yes, 100%. Okay. So I was in a tournament, and it was a trailer tournament, which means you can be on the water at 6:30. You can't start making a cast until 7. So you can be up on pad running to your spot, get to your spot. So I had found this incredible spot on the main lake point with this big commercial dock. And I'm sitting there sipping coffee, and I thought, I look down at my time, and I got like 5 minutes to go. I'll turn on, better turn on the HydroWave. Turn the HydroWave on.
Yeah.
And the fish just started going nuts.
Really?
It was dead calm. There was a few minnows flickering, but I put it on schooling bait is one of the settings.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing I know, the fish are blowing up all over the place. I freak out and shut it off, and they don't stop, and I can't make a cast for 5 minutes. I'm just sitting here watching this go nuts.
Why is it bad to keep them all riled up for 5 minutes?
It's not, but they might be done feeding by the time I can make a cast.
Oh, so when you you're saying that when you turned it on, they actually started feeding.
They actively started feeding
on the bait fish that was already in the water.
Right.
So you were afraid of them of dinner time getting over, filling up.
Right, and it didn't stop just because I shut it off. Once it got, the ball got rolling. And
that
another time,
super interesting.
Another time, I was fishing and I looked down, and I had it on. Bait frenzy, I think it was, which means fish bait are getting eaten, right?
Yeah, right.
And I look down, and there's three turtles just staring at my speaker on my trolling motor like, hey, man, I heard there's some stuff getting eaten over here. I don't see
nothing.
Where
are they?
Where are they? And the main thing that I think, well, us competitive fishermen, if you got it, I think I have to have it because you're going to have an advantage over me.
Yeah.
That's kind of how that stuff works. But that being said, I think it also masks your presence.
Mm-hmm.
That noise, a little bit of noise going on, covers the trolling motor, the opening and closing of your lids, all that sort of stuff. I think it gives you, it's like a camouflage as far as your presence.
Do you have to use the exact right type of lure, though? Because is it a specific sound? Like they're looking for a specific bait fish, like they're looking for shad or whatever? Can you?
There's all different. There's crawfish on gravel. There's active pads, which is like blue. Yeah, there's like bluegill.
So you need to match your lure with the setting then.
Not necessarily. You just want to know that there's active feeding going on here.
Gotcha.
The bait ball just means that sound is like when the bait get all in a tight ball because they're being wolf packed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bait get tighter because there's something actively. So if other fish hear that, they want to get in on the party, so to speak.
So is it a fairly common for guys that are at a high level of tournament?
I'd say 90% of high-level tournament fishermen have it.
They use that. Mm-hmm. And what about any other technology like in the
I'm not that – I as far as the lures go?
Or anywhere else. I mean, I was thinking lures, but like any other like technology outside of the
forward
typical electronics
yeah.
and yeah that we talk about. Like
what's that stuff? I forget what it's called, but when the fish are spawning up north, they spray this stuff on the water that slicks it off, and they put what looks like a traffic cone down because the fish spawn so much deeper over there, so you can see down into the water and see the smallmouth on the beds in like 15, 20 feet.
Mm.
So, what I'm saying? Almost. Mm-hmm. So it helps you. It slicks off the water. And then you can look with that cone and look down into the water.
So you just mentioned like it about that sound also masking you in
mm-hmm,
general.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard cases made for both things. I've heard cases made that, you know, it's especially I think old school. I mean, it is for me because I can literally still hear my grandpa's voice saying, you know, like, don't talk. You know, you're going to scare the fish. Don't talk. Don't move. Don't make any.
Depends on where you're at. You're on a farm pound. That's 100%. You're at Lake of the Ozarks. It doesn't matter.
Gotcha, because
it's their environment.
Matching the
there's not normally 9-10 kids jumping into a farm pond, but at Lake of the Ozarks, there might be 5 docks in that cove where kids are jumping on and off the dock. I've caught fish off of docks while people were swimming. I mean, it doesn't bother them because they see it all the time.
Right.
But if you were at a remote farm pond where Tony and Perry Wood are the only guys that fish there, you don't want somebody over there flapping around in the water.
Right. What about music?
I don't think. Same thing. It's all relative.
Yeah.
You probably want to be quiet at a farm pond, a smaller pond. But for example, I've caught some really nice bass off of an idling tug on the river.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that sound, they're used to it. It doesn't bother them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You put an idling tug in a small lake or a farm pond, and every fish is probably adios.
Yeah. I just always assumed it was my grandpa's way of making us be quiet.
Probably was.
It didn't really work.
Probably was.
But it was just his way of, like, having a peaceful...
having a peaceful time
on
fishing.
The water.
And it depends on what kind of... I mean, catfishing, maybe it does make a difference. But bass, they're predators, and you put something in front of their face, they're probably going to try to eat it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
while we're at it, I got another one when
right.
it comes to, like, gimmicks. What about the sprays that you're supposed to spray on your crankbait or your...
For scent?
Yeah.
Again, 100%. That's legit. That's a fish. That's one of their senses
talking
that they
about
use.
Perry Woods. Not only is Perry Woods a great guitar player, he's my number one fishing partner, and he is a big believer in the sprays.
Yep.
He's always
I
got
am
it.
Too.
He's always got multiple flavors in there, and he's like, you know, and what do you want? You want
garlic?
Shad? You want garlic? You want, yeah.
Yeah, crawfish?
Black licorice? What do you want?
Yeah. No, that's the same, almost exactly the same. It is one of their senses.
So it legit, it works.
Yes. It also masks your scent.
Mm.
I, as a tournament fisherman, you know, the whole banana in the boat thing, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
I don't believe in any of that crap. My
you
one
ever heard the banana in the boat?
My one pet.
I'll tell you a minute. There was a whole camouflage thing about this.
My one pet peeve is I don't put gas in the boat morning of the tournament because I don't want to get any on me or my hands or my clothes.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when I used to fish with my stepdad, I swore up and down that I caught more fish than him because he was smoking.
Mm.
That scent mm-hmm. on his hands when mm-hmm. he was touching his lures and stuff. I don't know if it's true, but
right.
I think I was just a better fisherman.
That probably had something to do with it. That is Mike Marfell. He is here with us in studio this week as our partner. Yeah, Mark McMurray is out on the road. It is show season, but it is still a great time to visit the team out there at Bluff City Outdoors. Open every day. It's February now, amazingly. Spring's right around the corner. Make sure you are ready for your next trip on the water or just to the great outdoors in general by visiting the team out at Bluff City Outdoors, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's on Broadway and Alton, open every day. All right, we're going to continue the conversation here with professional fisherman Mike Marfell next on the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
In a box of 12 gauge, be on the range, and I'm all liquored up.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
There's a place called Bubba's, and man, he's got the good.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make a Tennessee River run.
This is the Bluff City Outdoor Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show. Mike Marfell in studio with me this week as Mark McMurray, my co-host and the owner of Bluff City Outdoors, is out of town. Marion, Illinois this weekend is where the show is at. It is show season, so he and his team from Bluff City been bouncing around all over the Midwest, and this is an opportunity to catch them kind of close to home. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, go up to Marion. Free parking.
Free admission.
Free admission. Get up there and
be shaking babies
them.
And kissing hands
absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely. So you're going to be up there?
Yeah.
You're
going I'm going. I got to do the real job tomorrow, but I'm heading down. Meet up with Mark in the Airbnb, and we'll be there Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, there you go. So
this is the good thing about the NFL adding an extra week to the season, because normally it's the Super Bowl weekend, and it kind of I have to bail because I'm a football fan.
Yeah,
but.
So if you're hearing this on Saturday, still definitely have a chance to get up there and visit them. And, of course, speaking of the show, you can hear us every Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on News Talk STL, also Sundays at noon, and always on our podcast. We put the show out every week. Right after we get off the air as a podcast on basically every podcast platform. So whatever your favorite is, wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure you are subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoor Show. And also, while we are promoting good fishing and outdoor content, Mike, we got to mention the 10 Horse Monty, our buddy Gabe Montgomery,
yes.
and the great 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Always great stuff.
Yeah, and he's heading down with his co-host for the live stream, JB. They're going to fish with a guide, Del Kelvin. Kelvin, am I saying that right, Del? at Bull Shoals this weekend, so I'm sure they'll film some good content there.
Yeah.
It's the fishing. I guarantee, if the weather holds like this, they're going to just jack them.
So I'm glad you brought up the weather, because I wanted to ask you about that, because unbelievably, we're now into February.
Correct.
Getting closer and closer to the spring and, you know, the nice weather that hopefully will get everybody back outside, although it's still, you know, it's still a great time. You can still catch real big fish right now this
right
time
now.
Of year.
Right now.
And we've had some really cold. We've seen the extreme cold come and go, but this weekend is supposed to be fairly mild. Is there, you know, one when we're on a little bit of a roller coaster with the temperatures like this in the wintertime, it can kind of get into that deep freeze, and then you get a few days that are like in the 50s. Is that a good – when it does get – have a few days in the 50s, low 60s, maybe upper 40s, is that an opportunity to take advantage
not,
of that
maybe
weather?
Not necessarily on day one, but if you got like a three-day run
– which I think we've got.
Yeah, then, yeah, day two, three, and four are going to be dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really are.
Any difference between – do you fish just like it – just like you would on a 55-degree day in March or April, do you fish that way on a 55-degree day in February?
The water at Lake of the Ozarks right now is 38 to 40 degrees.
So what's the difference in your approach?
In my approach?
Yeah, you're a 55-degree day in April as opposed to a 55-degree day in February.
Slow way down. Yeah. If you're going to fish a jerkbait, you want to look up on the bank, pick your nose, scratch your ear, whatever, let it set. I've told you this before, and it's oxymoron. You got to fish slow and cover lots of water. So if you got to fish slow. If you're in the right areas, you'll get some feedback right away.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get that feedback, move.
Yeah. Is it the same as other times of the year that when you do get that activity, when you do hit, do you have the chance to catch a whole bunch?
Yes.
Just like any other time of year. Like this is, you found a spot.
Yes.
Should stick this out.
Wintertime and summertime are kind of identical. One, you can fish deep and fast. The other one, in the wintertime, it's more
that's interesting.
Slow, but they're still grouped up,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's interesting.
It's just right now they're pulling water at Lake of the Ozarks, too, because we've had some rain.
Mm-hmm.
So main lake points, secondary points.
So fish, is it low right now then?
It's still at the winter level, but they're pulling water because we've had some rain.
Yeah.
They're trying to keep it low.
Oh, okay, gotcha, yeah.
And there's a little bit of stain in the water, which is good for it heating up.
Mm-hmm.
But the fish will be on the bottom, but they'll be feeding up, if that makes sense. You can still catch them with a jig down there.
Yeah.
But
they're looking up.
They're looking up.
So you want to give them that food that's above where they're they're suspended.
Yep. Yep. Man. They're going to – when they're pulling current, they like to get on the bottom so they don't have to suspend and fight that current.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get down behind a log or a brush pile or something kind of out of the current or a rock. But they'll be looking up to feed.
Yeah.
So if they see that jerkbait just sitting there like it's dying, they'll make their way to it.
Yeah.
It won't be quick because they can't because they're cold-blooded.
Yeah.
You got to picture them inching their way towards it.
Is this the time of the year that you're also sort of making your game plan for the season? Like plugging the holes in the tackle box maybe? That you lost anything and like kind of getting your game plan?
100%. Like I told you last time. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Sitting in front of the TV.
Anything, but any big difference between this year and last year for you? Like, is there anything from last
year? I'm going to try to do a little more finesse fishing. Pick that shaky head up a little bit more often.
Yeah.
I'm a power fisherman. I like to fish a big jig and just go for five bites. That's where the 10 horse comes in handy in the back of my boat because he will finesse fish back there. He'll have a spinning rod and a little bitty Ned rig or a little bitty shaky head. And
Patience.
Like fishing that. It's like I don't like fishing the Alabama rig. It's not because I don't think it works. It's just I don't like it. I want to enjoy myself.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not trying. I am patting myself on the back. I'm pretty freaking good with a jig in my hand.
So why change?
Right.
So why?
We always talk about it. It's what I got confidence in.
Right.
I mean, I've had co-anglers in my boat
if
or
it's
friends.
If it's working, why?
Right.
Do you feel you rely on it too
force
much?
Yes, I'm force feeding them sometimes.
Gotcha.
I'm force feeding it sometimes when they're not on it. But I just feel like I'm good at it. I can put it in other places that people can't.
Yeah.
I've had guys jokingly in my boat go like nine. And I'm like, what? And he said, I was impressed. You picked that square bill up, made nine casts, put it back down, and grabbed the jig. I was like, well, like I was saying, if they would have bought it, then it bit it in that first nine cast, I'd still have it in my hand, but they didn't.
Right.
I just don't have the same
confidence in another.
I need to go out and I'm most likely going to be getting forward facing sonar this year. So that's another thing I'm going to have to go out and work on. I'll probably take my own advice and I'll go find somebody that's good at it and I'll pay him to teach me.
Yeah. Want to mention also, since we're talking about you know, it being February now, getting closer and closer to spring, and on a weekend like this where we have unseasonably warm weather, don't forget another great outdoor activity is, of course, grilling. And next time you are barbecuing, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you, one of the great sponsors of this show. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, a great local business. So you're supporting a small local business. You're supporting local industry. Missouri is the number one charcoal maker in the country, and Rockwood Lump Charcoal is just a superior product across the board. If you've never used lump charcoal before, grill with it one time. That's how it was with me, and you'll never want to go back to the traditional briquettes. Rockwood, for one, the you know, a bag of Rockwood goes a lot further than a bag of briquettes because you are, it's not full of extra chemicals and filler. It's just basically Missouri hardwoods, pure carbon. That is that's the ingredients in Rockwood Lump Charcoal. So the bag lasts longer. It burns faster. It burns hotter. It burns cleaner. It gives you more control of your grilling experience. It's just a superior product across the board. It's been rated the number one consumer ranked charcoal in the country 9 years running. And again, you are using the best and supporting a great small local business all at the same time. Rockwood Lump Charcoal can be found in over 100 area stores. Find the closest one to you and pick up some grilling tips and tricks all at rockwoodcharcoal.com. All right, we mentioned the banana in the boat.
Right.
Explain to Quentin.
I don't know where it started, but it's supposed to be bad luck to have a banana in your boat. I think Mark told us the origins one place.
Yeah.
I don't remember the origins, but it's a running joke in fishing. Like, if you got a banana in the boat, it's going to be bad luck. Boat's going to sink. You're not going to catch anything.
It goes back like hundreds of years. Like, yeah. It doesn't just have to do with like bass fishermen.
No.
Did you know that?
I have no clue.
Never bring a banana on a boat.
Really?
Only some guys will never take you fishing again.
Really?
Yeah. They're weird about it. I'm not. I've had guys try to play the prank on me, put a banana in the boat, and I find it and I just eat it. I need potassium, right?
That's how I feel. I'm not big on those superstitions.
I make my own luck.
I love bananas.
I do.
It's an easy travel snack too. Like if you're making a little
plus there's no trash. You throw the peel in the water, the turtles eat it, everybody's happy.
I think that the peel has something to do with it.
Maybe. I thought it was the, I don't know what it is. Honestly.
No, what is your
something about in the lower level of the boats where they kept the, I don't know. When on like way back sailing across the ocean kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think Mark knows.
He knows, yeah.
Mark knows the origins of it.
He's definitely talked about it, but it's so funny how seriously people take it.
And I'm not a superstitious person.
I told you the gas.
That's it. Don't get gas on the morning of the tournament.
Don't get gas in the morning.
I don't want to get it on me.
Yeah. But that's based.
That's got practical. That's based science.
In reality. Do you have any like non-practical superstitions? Like wearing the same socks, wearing the same shirt?
No.
Anything like that?
I know a lot of people don't like to catch a fish on the first cast.
That's mine.
Yeah, that's yours.
That's my big one.
But
it's not the first cast. It's like the first half hour. I do not want to catch, especially if I catch something little, that's fine. But if I catch a big fish in the first half hour.
That's the weirdest thing.
I am like the whole day.
That just means you figured them out. You're where they're at.
It means the day is ruined. It means the day is ruined. It's the last fish of the day.
One of the best 2 week stretches of my life. Tournament fishing, I lost a 7+ on the first cast of the morning, and my partner was like, that sucks, and I'm like, no, that means we're on them.
Yeah,
because I was on their
practice. I'd rather lose it in the first 30.
We won that tournament, and then I came back and won the championship the weekend before on the same stretch. I mean, that same stretch helped,
right,
with my limit every day. So I don't. None of that stuff bothers me.
Yeah.
The fish come. Now, a fish
in
getting
general,
off in a school.
Are there a lot of superstitions among fishermen?
Oh, yeah.
Like, are you rare to not have a.
I think so.
A bunch?
Yeah. When they always wish me luck, and I say, just wish me help for no bad luck. I don't think luck has diddly to do with catching fish.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, there's luck in, you know. No, I don't think there is.
We should bring Jeff Allen, one of the owners of the radio station, in here sometime because he thinks that fishing is all luck. Like, literally all luck.
No.
I would love to have you
conversation. The furthest. That's what I thought. Definitely not bass fishing.
Yeah.
That's definitely what I thought before coming on to this show.
Oh.
And now after hearing all the ins and outs, I mean, it's like a whole new world.
Yeah. I've done it with friends.
They're an animal, and you're trying to follow their seasonal pattern to figure out where they're at.
I've done.
I'm not just sitting there drinking a beer, drowning a worm.
Right. Exactly.
I'm nowhere near your level, and I've done it with friends before, where we've been out, you know, on a boat, you know, just like going for a ride, having a good time. There's a fishing pole. Somebody's like, "Yeah, let's fish a little bit," and guys are fishing, and they're not catching anything, and then I'll start fishing, and I'll catch over and over again, and they're like, "What? No, what? Okay, give me that," and then they'll fish, not catch anything. Like the knife fish and catching fish,
yeah.
Just with a little bit of.
You don't know how to wiggle your worm, right? That's right. What I was.
Exactly. Did you have any superstitions, like in sports or anything like that? Q, did you have a big one?
Nah, I mean, not necessarily a big one.
I did in baseball. I was hustled on and off the field, Eckstein style.
Yeah,
that was always my thing.
Jump over the lines.
Yep, and sprint to my position.
The baseline.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I guess I took stretching very serious. Stretched the same way.
Yeah.
So I mean,
there you go.
You know, you have to be limber. So
in hockey, I would dip myself in icy hot essentially, and then take a shot of whiskey before I hit the ice.
Yeah.
Goalies and
hockey players are different, man.
Yeah. Well, somebody's gonna be throwing frozen rubber at you at 100 miles an hour. It's best to have a shot of whiskey. And I play goalie, so it's like, let's go, baby. Yeah. I wanted to get loose and not be worried about scared of anything.
I could do a whole show on mine that surprises nobody with my OCD.
Right.
How many weird quirks that I have.
It drives me crazy
when it comes
bigs,
to radio,
right?
When it comes to sports,
gloves.
When it comes to fishing, all of it. We've got quirks. I've got a book of them.
Same.
We'll get into those some other time.
How much time we got, Tony?
That's it. We're just about out of time.
I got a shout out to
this
my
is
son.
A big shout out. This is awesome.
Yeah, he got the Army. I'm going to try to get through this without getting choked up. The Army Achievement Medal.
It's okay to get
for my son.
Choked up.
Coyote Company 2nd Battalion 134th Infantry Regiment Airborne.
Yes.
Spencer Marfell displayed the highest levels of professionalism and dedication while serving as an automatic rifleman during Operation Enduring Freedom in the Horn of Africa. His actions are in keeping with the finest traditions of the military and reflect great credit upon himself, the Task Force Tomahawk, Combined Joint Horn of Africa, and the United States Army.
Let's
he received that today.
Go.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Received that award today.
Today. Yeah. He sent it to me today.
As we're
recording this. Congratulations.
Yeah, that is.
So, yeah, he's got a little bit of that Forrest Gump in him, like his dad. Will you tell me what to do, and I'll just do it and not bitch about
it. Yeah,
That's what it takes to be a soldier.
We are so proud of him, so honored to
America.
Know you and your family.
So hopefully Perry's listening to this. He'll be proud.
Yeah, Perry Woods, third-generation military. He was an Army Ranger. He used to jump out of airplanes for the United States
perfectly
Army.
Good ones.
Yeah, perfectly good ones.
My son's going to be doing the same thing.
That's exactly
right. He gets home from Africa, he's off to airborne school.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that is an awesome, awesome award, awesome recognition for your boy, and we're proud and honored to know you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That is that's phenomenal. Please pass on
our
support to him and his.
We'll have him on when he gets home.
Team. Oh, yeah, can't wait to have that conversation. I want him to tell some stories about
baboon
you.
Stories.
Yeah, oh. Some stories about you.
No, we don't want that.
All right. That's
off to watch the daughter wrestle now.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's going to do it for this week's Bluff City Outdoors show. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast in the meantime so you don't miss anything. Make sure you visit the folks out there at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton before your next trip to the great outdoors. And we'll see you next week. For producer Quentin and Mark McMurray and Mike Marfell, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to the Bluff City Outdoors show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Waterfall, check it out.